DW Africa Link. What happens when you die without making a will? That could mean your property could end up in the wrong hands, leaving your family without support. So, to prevent that from happening, making a will is crucial. Unfortunately, this practice isn't widespread across Africa. So, why is this the case, and how can people be encouraged to write wills? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter from Africa and beyond.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
A will is a legal document stating how you want your assets distributed after death, ensuring your wishes are followed and loved ones are cared for according to your instructions. But here's the thing. In South Africa, for example, according to recent statistics from the Justice Department, over 80% of people die without a will. That's pretty high, isn't it?
Listen to Africa Link whenever you want. Sign up for our podcast at dw.com/AfricaLinkPodcast.
Now, I'm sure you want to know more, so let's bring in South African legal expert Lebohang Balasi Sekete. Hello and welcome to the program, Lebo.
Hi, Eddie. Thank you for inviting me.
My colleague Nontoko Zomchunu is also here with us. He's DW correspondent in Johannesburg, South Africa. Hello, Nonto. You good?
Hi, Eddie. I'm good. Good to be back on the show again.
Let's jump straight into this, talking about will. From the situation of South Africa, Lebo, why are so many in South Africa without a will?
Honestly, Eddie, I think it's partly a lack of knowledge. The processes of estate planning, perhaps it's not as widely shared as it should be to the relevant people. So people find themselves just almost not planning as to what happens to their estates after they pass away, not making any arrangements, and sometimes just verbally telling people what their wishes are and hoping that people will listen to them.
There are those that will probably say, I mean, what's the big deal having a will? I mean, why should I even be concerned? So briefly tell us, why is it so important for anyone to have a will?
Like I said, it's basically estate planning. It's you having a bit of control over what happens once you cease to exist. And planning for kids or family or things that you hold dear to you and making sure that they are sorted even without your presence.
Well, we will definitely get into the details of it. Here's one thing. I'm willing to bet that my colleague Nontoko Zomchunu does not have a will. She's part of this conversation. Nonto, can you prove me right or wrong?
That is not fair. I'm sorry. That is not fair. Look, you're right. But I do think that question or approach is pretty unfair, Eddie, but it's okay. And I guess the reason would be partly procrastination and partly what a lot of South Africans probably think as well, is I have not gained enough assets for me to start to have a will. I feel that way. But then again, you know, I've just left school. So what am I putting in my will, you know? So that's the reason why I personally don't have one yet.
I think, Lebo, it's very interesting what Nonto is saying, because there are a lot of us, and look, Nonto, not to make you feel bad, I don't have a will either. You could have bet your last time on it too. So trust me, it runs across. But I think one thing you touched on, Nonto, which I want to bring to the doorstep of Lebohang, is that many people feel, well, I don't have a land, I don't have a car, I don't have a house, so what am I putting in my will? Do you really have to have that before, or can you start as simple as your phone, your pen, your bed?
Yes, definitely. Your personal effects, personal belongings, anything you own that is considered an asset is worth putting in your will. I've seen that a lot of people don't even consider drafting a will or getting a will drafted until they have kids. it's almost like the penny drops once you have responsibility that you are expected to take care of. So I understand why Nonto feels that way. It's almost like I've almost got nothing to give, so what's the point? It could be anything, anything in your name that you consider an asset that has value. You could put it in your will, definitely.
Mm, I see. Well, Nonto, there you have it. In your case, probably that's going to be some of your clothes. I know you have some favorite pens and a few things. You should start putting them on your will, Nonto. There you have it.
Yeah, they could be vintage. They could be vintage by the time someone lands their hands on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Eddie, I hope that's a lesson for you as well.
It is. I have very few things I could put on my will. But look, we can't veer from the fact that it is definitely quite alarming that in the case of South Africa, at least, and as we know, it's not just South Africa, it's quite an Africa-wide problem. Can you take us through a bit, Lebohang, for anyone who says, hey, I'm ready to draft a will, what do I do?
So believe it or not, you do not require an attorney to draft a will. You could take a blank piece of paper and write down your wishes and sign and have a witness. So there's certain requirements that need to be met for it to be considered a valid will. And yeah, but it's not stringent. It's just easier to approach an attorney so they can give you the do's and don'ts. It's more for guidance more than anything else. Because, you know, certain clauses, if they're discriminatory or they are against the law, they cannot be in your will, which then almost creates a loophole in your will that opens it up to be contested. And you almost don't want that because you leave a will with direct wishes, setting out whatever intentions you had. So having a lawyer involved almost makes it guaranteed almost that it will be a legal document, but it's not a requirement that you need a lawyer. If you know exactly what your assets are and who you want to leave them to, you can take a blank piece of paper, write exactly what you want, sign it, and have witnesses sign it as well, and it is valid.
Right, and you don't need a court for that? Can I as Eddie Micah, take a paper, write what I have, you know, decide who I'm giving it to, get two witnesses to sign, and that's it?
So we don't require court intervention in any way. The only time your will needs to be used is after you die, and it's submitted to the master's office, who will then almost help facilitate the process of winding up their estate, making sure that the right heirs and beneficiaries are getting what's due to them, and sort of like wrapping up the process, disposing of the deceased's assets, and making sure their wishes are fulfilled. That's the only time we submit the will to the master. Before then, it just needs to be drafted, signed, and kept in a safe place. And you obviously tell whoever you could appoint as your executor or someone you trust, maybe a friend or a family member, so they know where to find it the day you eventually pass away.
Right. And Nonto, again, from your earlier statement, you being young, you probably felt, well, probably this is not the time to dig into this. But what sense do you get from your circle of friends, Nonto, when it comes to the issue of will?
Eddie, I think it's exactly that. You know, people feel that they are either too young or haven't accumulated much to start drafting a will. But more than that, I also think people are not aware that you can just take a blank piece of paper, like Lebo just said now, and actually write and have witnesses and sign it yourself and keep it somewhere safe. You know, I think people think that in order to have a will and in order for it to be valid, you need a lawyer and you need to do it in a formal way. You need to have some kind of legal representation for whatever reason, you know. And so I think people don't know and they're not educated enough. But also, it's not just among the young people that people feel they haven't accumulated enough assets. I actually had a conversation earlier with someone who's in just approaching 40, and I asked her if she has a will. She said no, and I asked why. She said because I don't have much to write in my will at the moment.
Nonto, with your researching and everything, do you have a sense that the government is doing enough to draw people's attention to this?
Look, personally, no, I don't think so. I think that a lot of South Africans are legally illiterate, and I think a lot of people do not know what the Constitution says, what rights they have. They don't know. They just know that South Africa is governed by the Constitution, but they don't actually know what's inside the Constitution. And I think that is a huge challenge, a very big challenge that perhaps the government could do something about. And so I don't think the government is doing enough to educate people about roles or anything legal for that matter.
Yeah, interesting point, because that normally is a challenge. Lebo, so just to again let people understand why it's so important to have, let's help explain this. Who suffers more when one dies without a will?
Usually, mainly children. I would say the mark on women is slowly changing as the world is changing, and you know, women are sort of stepping up and claiming their space. But children suffer the most, mainly because they are left to fend for themselves. Sometimes they're left with family members who also can't afford to take care of them. And yeah, it's really sad. It's very sad. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's absolutely mainly women and children. But
yeah,
children.
Women. Exactly. Children the most face the challenge of not benefiting from a written will before one dies. And that also really comes with an economic impact overall when you talk about wealth transfer and, you know, economic development in Africa and among African families and communities. Tell us more about that.
There are two processes that are applicable. So when you die, it's either you have a will, and then obviously your estate will be dealt with in terms of that will. And if you die without a will, there's what people refer to as a government will, which is the Interstate Succession Act, which sets out if someone passes away without a will, this is the process. However, the problem with that is, like Nondo said, the education is not there to help people know which process to follow should someone pass away without a will. There is something called the Guardians Fund that is managed by the Master of the High Court, and that is for minors who are beneficiaries of either by virtue of a will or just by virtue of interstate succession. Mm-hmm. And the fund is basically holding the inheritance until such time that the minor is of majority status, which is 18, and then they can claim from that fund. But that barely ever happens because people actually don't know of the existence of this fund. But back to what you were saying, yes, it does definitely affect the wealth and the legacy of the family. You know, if they had built up the wealth and they had plans of, you know, growing it further with the future generations, then if an estate is not wound up correctly and beneficiaries are not considered, then it almost takes that whole thing away and they have to start all over.
Right, right. So just to be clear, in South Africa, if someone dies interstate, which as you explained means they die without making a will, the government has ways to share the property of the person that died, right? And how equal or balanced is that share? How does the government decide who gets what?
So it depends. If the deceased had a spouse, if they have a surviving spouse and there are no descendants, meaning no kids, then the spouse will inherit the entire estate. If they do have kids, then you divide it. So if they have four kids and a wife, you would take whatever their estate is and divide it by five. If each portion is above 250, then the surviving spouse will get whatever that share is, and then the kids will have to split the difference equally. I'm not sure if I'm making sense.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a lot of focus on the family of the deceased, right?
Yes, 100%. So, so it's surviving spouse with the descendants. And if they don't have a surviving spouse and they don't have descendants, then the next tier is the parents. The parents will then inherit. If only one parent is alive, then they'll inherit 100% of the estate. If the parents are not there, then it goes down to the siblings.
So solutions, as we've already started heading on, we need more education. And probably, shouldn't it also be possible as a solution to have an online will writing service of some sort, you know, just an app where you can just go on and say, hey, I'm just going to enter my details and now, voila, I have a will. Shouldn't that be possible?
It sounds great, but our legislation doesn't allow it.
Why?
Legislation hasn't been updated. I don't know if anyone has actually put this forward as a suggestion. Maybe I should. but it still requires that it needs to be written and signed.
But also, what I was going to say as well, Lebogang, is I personally wonder if already now, when you can just grab a piece of paper, some of us still don't have wills, would doing it online make a difference? So I'm not sure if the issue here is the fact that it's the way that it can be done, or it's actually just the education around having a will, if that makes sense. So yeah, I don't know. I'm just wondering if it would make any difference if it's actually as easy as grabbing a piece of paper.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. It's just, you know, this day and age, especially with these Gen Zs, when while you go in, all they do is be on their phones. So if something becomes, it's really how you sell things. There are a lot of people that feel doing it is boring. You know, you have to now take a paper to take two people, go, you know, in some cases go to a court, but in South Africa's case, I guess not, but still write, you know, sign all that stuff. Maybe a bit complicated, but as we're saying, I mean, we are not the law. The law doesn't allow that, and we'll see what the future holds. Look, this is a very interesting topic, and I'm sure everyone listening now knows it's important to have a will, at least if you don't want any issues with the little property or belongings that you have passing on to other people. So, Nonto, you're going to get on this after this podcast, right?
Well, Eddie, first you need to show me that you've done it. Then I'll follow in your footsteps as the older person. I think I should follow in your footsteps, right? You should set the example. So I think the challenge here should be that you do it first. Show me that you've done it and I do it.
For those of you that don't know Nonto and Eddie's relationship, this is just how we roll. We compete within ourselves too. Once we start, the next one follows. But I think the morale of all of this is that clearly we all understand the importance of doing the will. And if it's as simple as putting information down on paper, then really nothing much stops us. But education is definitely very key. Right. So let me say thank you very much, Lebohang Balasi Sekete, South African legal expert, and Nontokozo Mtunu, DW correspondent in Johannesburg, South Africa. Many thanks for your time.
Thank you, Eddie, for having me. It was really great having this conversation.
It's an absolute pleasure, Eddie. I just wanted to add, we have Wills Week from the 16th to the 20th of September. That is when we will be drafting wills for anyone who would like one for free.
Great. Nonto, that's your call.
It's too late. But thank you for that, Lebogang. It's really nice to know.
So there is no doubt that South Africa has a will-writing problem. But how does this compare to other African countries? To be honest, it's not any different. Let's bring in Peter Bismarck-Kwofi, a public policy expert in Ghana. Hello, Peter. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Eddie. Nice to be here.
A study conducted by your Institute for Liberty and Policy Innovations indicates that 9 out of 10 Ghanaians do not have a written will. That is staggering, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We're looking at a population of about 31 million, including myself. I'm a proud to the project. I never had a will. So it's quite disturbing that many Ghanaians are dying without a will, that they'll be pushed into dying interstate. And there are a lot of challenges in assessing or inheriting property or assets of a deceased person when you die in interstate instead of having a will.
It sounds very disturbing. But did that come as a surprise to you?
No, because myself, I never had a will. So what inspired this research was we had a conversation with a lawyer. And at the time we were having that conversation, there was a client who had come to him discussing about his will. Then we asked the lawyer, do you have a will yourself? And he said, no. And we said, okay, well, then when I go back to the office, I'll call the team to discuss how we could find out number of Ghanaians having a will in this country and how the absence of these wills will affect or push people into extreme poverty in Ghana. So that inspired that. So I wasn't surprised, even the lawyer himself. So if the lawmaker himself is not having a will, then what happens to we who are the recipients of all these laws being passed?
I'll be honest, I don't have a will myself. So there you go. And I don't know any of my friends that has a will. Why do you think that is the case? It's clearly, for me at least, not a decision to not have a will. A part of me feels I'm just too young. I'm not thinking about death yet. What is driving these numbers that so many people do not have a will so far?
Right. So from the interviews we did across the country, many, including the elites, said to some extent they think when you have a will, you are closer to your grave. Then the statistics also tells us that about 32% said they are not ready to write a will. I mean, they have the assets, they have lands, but they are not ready to write a will. Most of them said they've experienced families contesting even a will in court, and it has taken 10, 20 years, contesting that in court. So they don't see why they should have a will, which they think could solve a problem when they are no more. Instead, causing a lot of legal tussles and battles in court. So they don't believe in it. Because if it could solve a problem, people shouldn't be contesting even a will in court.
We're talking about this because we're saying 9 out of 10 Ghanaians do not have a written will. That includes me, that includes you. Or do you have a will now?
Yeah, I have a will now. Immediately after this project, I prepared a will. So I have a will now. I've also been to the various financial institutions, including the banks, the insurance, and select other pension investment I've done to update the details of my beneficiaries, the nominees, and the next of kin.
Again, how can people be encouraged to write a will? Because that's what all this is aimed at. People should write wills.
Yeah, I think the education is low on the importance of writing a will in Ghana. Very, very low. Because many, including myself, initially never knew I could write my own will. So per the law, any Ghanaian can write his own will when you are 18 years old. So often we do think only lawyers can write a will. And the cost involved in paying a lawyer is about $1,200 per the 2022 Ghana Bar Association scale of legal fees. And then the court also taking in another additional cost for keep. So many do think that no, they can afford $1,200 and $40 to pay to the court to keep the will. So then they wouldn't. But then any individual can write his or her own will. And that should be an encouragement that you don't need a lawyer to write your will for you.
So 9 out of 10 Ghanaians do not have a written will. You say people should be educated. They should know what's on the ground and know that it's not that complicated to write a will. How optimistic are you about the future that the next time you conduct a survey, we're going to be talking about much or many more Ghanaians writing a will?
Right. So we will take this every 2 years. So we're hoping to see that based on what we are doing now, we hope to see at least one out of the 9 could be added to have, let's say, 2 out of, so we could have about 8 out of 10 now, not having a will gradually. Maybe in the next 10 to 20 years, we could have about 4 out of 10 Ghanaians not having a will. So we are really pushing this beyond any other conversation. We've had interactions with the parliament. We've had interactions with the Attorney General, So we're hoping that many more Ghanaians in the coming years, maybe after 2 years after 2023, we should have at least one more percentage added to what we found out, so that we can see that there's a progress. But if you conduct the search again and then it is still the same or lower than that, that becomes a huge setback for us in safeguarding assets of the diseased and taking people out of poverty in the process. So I'm okay. Quite optimistic because you can see currently SNITs and the birth and death registry, and then the
court, okay. So in a nutshell, just as we have, so in a nutshell, you are optimistic about the future that more and more people
will I am. Because currently myself, I also have a will now, and I'm hoping you also have yours soon. And they will all be added to their numbers.
Exactly. That I can agree. So stand by. I'm going to be hitting you up for more information. Peter Bismack Kofi, public policy expert in Ghana. Thank you very much for your time.
That's all for this edition of Africa Link. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or your preferred podcast platform. Click follow to stay updated. This show was produced by George Okachi. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.